See the robot. I love the robot every single time.
So yeah, you gotta love it.
Let's see here. Oh, dude. Hold on. I'm gonna turn my video on real quick so you can see this. Dude.
Okay.
I got something in that I'm so stoked about. All right, where's my video? Where's my video? Dude. All right, tell me where it is. Can you see me?
Yeah.
You see me? Okay. So it got graded at a 9.8. My Stan Lee sign, Golden Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's pretty cool.
Dude, yeah, so freaking stoked. Only reason it got a green label was just solely because he wasn't there when he signed it. But I have the certificate of authenticity and everything with it. So I'm like super freaking stoked, dude.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Did you get it graded? Got it graded and you just got it back in?
Yeah, I just got it back in.
That's cool.
Dude, like I'm so stoked. And believe it or not, I got his autograph for $125.
That's not bad.
Oh no, that's dirt cheap, my friend. That is dirt cheap.
How did you get it that cheap?
So if you go scroll on eBay, and if you scroll down to the dark pages, which I like to call like at the bottom, and you keep scrolling past the bottom, you find no one ever scrolls down that far. So you find actual copies or actual good stuff down there that no one's bidding on because they don't ever go down there. And yeah, that's how I ended up getting it. So like I got freaking extremely lucky with the price, because right now I could probably turn around and try to sell this for probably about $600-$800, give or take.
Nice.
I'm so excited. It was a nice birthday present. It's not even close to my birthday, but it is what it is.
When you spend that much on something arbitrarily random, it's a birthday present, you know?
That's an actual statement. That's true. Dude, I was just surprised that they gave a 9.8 for it. I was expecting probably like a 9.4 because it had a little smudge on a few of the pages. But they went ahead and did 9.8, so I'll take it.
Well, that's CCG?
CGC, yeah.
Yeah, CGC, sorry.
No, you're good, dude.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Like, and like they've been green stuff super hard as of late too.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's the most surprising point.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm shocked that they got a 9.8 period as well, the way they've been grading shit since the pandemic.
Yeah, I know they started grading super tough during the pandemic, and I was surprised. Yes, like most of them that would get like a 9.8, they were given like at high like a 9.1, give or take, which is insane. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, you got also who's the other one? Not Beckett, but the other one. Is it Beckett? I think it is Beckett. Yeah, Beckett was extremely hard as well. They were extremely harsh on most products and stuff they got coming through them. I think they found out like some people were fudging stuff, just trying to help other people out and stuff like that, and that got them in some serious trouble. So they had to move some actual people in there to do it. But also, I mean, anyone can go in there and become a grader. There's no issues with that. As long as you live near their office. I think Beckett is in Florida. What's the other one? There's another one that starts with a J. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I have no idea.
Fuck it. It is what it is. Well, anyways, welcome to Movies, Brews, and Rants.
Woo!
First of all, do you acknowledge to get this podcast started?
Ew, gross. I don't do it. I don't feel like doing it right now. Nope, not doing it. I do not give consent. Nope. Yeah. Acknowledge.
Oh my god. I had to. I could not just pass that opportunity up. That was probably one of the worst things ever, but you know, it is what it is. I'm Tyler. I'm drinking a Belgian ale called Delirium Nocturnum. Nocturnum? It's got a big pink elephant on it. Tastes good. That's all that matters. Yeah, so that's what I'm drinking. What's up? What you got over there, bud?
I am. I have a frozen carbonated beverage.
That's Jeff, by the way.
With some actual Southern Comfort in it. It used to be Jack and Coke, but I let it sit in the freezer too long, and I think I leached all my Jack away. So I just squirted it up.
It just sounds absolutely horrible.
It was rough to start with. It's better now.
I just love how many bottles of Southern Comfort do you have there?
I only have one bottle of Southern Comfort, but there are four bottles of, I'll be damned, there's four bottles of bourbon in the freezer. Yeah, you know, and I'm going to get shit from people that drink bourbon. They say, oh, you should drink it. So shut the fuck up. I will drink it at the temperature in which my palate says it's delicious and will not worry about your idea of what good is. I'm not against trying things differently. I am against being dictated to on how things that I have paid for should be consumed. So fuck off.
Well, there we had it. Nah, man, there are certain drinks out there that you can have cold. There are certain drinks out there you can have warm. The older scotches, you can have warm. Those taste phenomenal warm. But a lot of stuff you need to have cold. I'm with you on that one. I'd throw that shit in the freezer too.
Yeah, it's like when, you know, when people that appreciate scotch, you know, drink it, you know, they can suck down their fiery peat bog juice however they'd like to. I don't care. It's gross to me in all forms, fashions, and styles. That being said, it's been over 7 years since I've attempted to drink scotch because I just don't find it enjoyable. So maybe my palate's changed to something I would actually like to drink these days, but I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for me to try it again.
I'd much rather, you know, drink something I enjoy. That I'm not going to fucking hate my life having to force getting it down. Although, you know what that brings me up to, though? Every time I pull out my bottle of mead... So, no. You're making mead. Every time I pull out my Viking mead, you always go, "Hugh." Do you not like it?
Oh, dude. It's just... It's not because... It's A, horrible memories, and then, like, the Viking blood, I think that Danish mead version of the Viking blood, or one of them has caraway seed in it, and I'm not a fan. Now, some of them have cherry and hibiscus, you know, and that's fine, but then the ones that start to hop a little, that put hops in it, the dry hop, not a big fan. The dry hop version of the ones I've had, or the ones with caraway seed. Now, you may do what you can do when mead was traditionally made, but that's like the world's OGest alcohol way of consumption. But yeah, some of them just are not a big fan, you know, and that's just because of what's in them and the way that hits my palate. And some of them I just enjoy, period, you know.
Okay. See, I was extremely curious about that. I was like, you know what? I really put in perspective. I was like, he acts like he hates it, but then he's making his own. I was like, what the fuck's going on?
No, dude, it's just certain variety of it and styles of it that I'm just like,
okay. I can understand that. I'll give that one to you.
I forgot what it was. The one with the caraway seed was really. Assaulted to my senses.
I'm trying to remember which one it was. I don't remember which one it was.
I don't remember which one it was either. But, like, you know, there's several of these traditional you know, spices and things like that that are just like, you, just because you had it doesn't mean you had to put it in the meat, guys. You know what I mean?
Very true. That is very true.
Like, totally just chunk it in there and see what happens.
Well, with that little rant out of the way, you know, off to a great start. I think we haven't even mentioned the movie once, which the movie we are doing, no, we did, you know, which you so graciously acknowledged for me, is Spiderhead with Miles Teller, and Chris Hemsworth. You know what? Honestly, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It started off extremely slow, but I in the long run, enjoyed it.
I like the movie as well. You know, starting out, it didn't offend me super bad. I thought it started out on a fairly decent, at a pace, and kind of kept that pace for the majority of it. Somebody tried to sprint towards the finish a little bit, but what could you expect? You know, you need to end the movie at some point. And then, the one thing that stood out to me, other than a portrayal from you know, of a character by Chris Hemsworth, I personally haven't seen him as before. You know, he was a very disingenuous, loathsome creature in that film, and yes, he was super manipulative. And it was nice to see a range from him that you don't get in a lot of other actors once they get to that stratosphere where he's at, you know. But it seems like several of them from the old Marvel MCU have stretched their legs into more nefarious roles as of late. We're looking at you,
Chris Evans,
the other Chris, yeah, for Gray Man. But
so did you watch Gray Man?
I have not watched Gray Man, but you know,
honestly,
I've heard it aggressively mid.
I enjoyed it. It's a I hope we could actually. What is this called? A podcast? Jesus Christ! Yeah. I want to do a podcast on it. But all I will say is Jason Bourne vibes.
I I've heard that from several people that have watched it, that have had various mixed feelings on. Man, you guys should put those on your podcast. You're like, don't. And I've had people like, dude, don't bother. That shit was awful. So you know, it's one of those that some people, everybody's like, it's just like, you know, like I said, I've heard mid as the most standout criticism of it. It's just there's nothing special in one or the other. But the one that we are doing today, I will say, Spiderhead is absolutely not mid for as.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so as far as you know, what they did with a very limited cast, really, and shooting was not, you know, of a massive grand scale. You had your principals, you know, of Miles Teller and Chris Hemsworth.
Yep.
Exceptional supporting cast from some of it. Journey Smollett was very good.
Who was good in most everything?
She's Miles Teller. She's the cook.
Okay.
Okay. At the film starts. So she was good in that. And then, you know, six man off the bench. Really, man, it's the music, and the
yes.
And the sound editing in this movie. These weren't. Particularly remarkable songs, but the way that they were incorporated into the scene, into the way the audio changed while the music was playing, and how it was introduced in multiple times to generate additional moods that they're playing upon. I think the sound editing was absolutely fantastic in this particular film. And I was again thankful that I have not just succumbed to the to the advertising of others and have just one sound bar, but I have distinct placement powered speakers throughout throughout the area in which I watched these movies. So the sound to me was fantastic. The placement was great. The way it was trailed off from point A to point B, how it was followed throughout the room and the scene, and the volume in which it escalated to was great. And I'm not just sitting there giving me an audiophile guy about how great everything is, but sound editing in this one was fantastic.
Yeah, they did a phenomenal job on that. And like you said, just to piggyback off of that, they pushed so far into it. I thought they created the fuck. Oh my god, I am out of it, dude. I'm so out of it. I barely slept last fucking night. Anyways, nah, like the score with the points they put into it at the crucial points. At the end of the movie, where he's flying the plane, that was the most perfect music that you could play with it. I couldn't see anything else putting into it. And whenever they would do anything great along those sorts,
it was fantastic. Like it was a song by Poco, I believe, in which I've seen the album my entire life, and I don't believe I've ever bothered to listen to a song from it, to my knowledge, into watching this movie. And so it was made me chuckle, when I'm watching his iPod or his selection from his phone as he's choosing these sounds. But before we get to the end of the movie, I guess we jump back to the beginning. We know who we liked in the movie and the things they've done. Miles Teller was fantastic. I think he is aggressively underrated as an actor by a lot of people.
Just because
he's not in the biggest franchise all the time, he's attempted to several times.
Top Gun Maverick that just came out not too long ago? That he has soared since that movie. The number of which people are searching him just because of that movie, and they're actually watching a lot of his other content. Personally, I remember him from 21 and Over. That's still my favorite movie of his, where he's going around yelling Jeff Chang 25,000 times. That's one of my favorite movies till this day. And I, like you said, I think he's a very underrated actor. Everybody knows who Chris Hemsworth is. You put Chris Hemsworth in a movie, people are going to flock to it. Based solely on the basis they think they're going to see him shirtless. But you can't tell me I'm wrong. For those of you who are listening, you know I'm right. It's okay. It's okay.
I don't think it's wrong. First, Miles Teller in Whiplash was fantastic. I will never forgive him for signing on and continuing to complete Fantastic Four stick. It was disgusting.
Oh.
It was so bad. Yeah. Yeah. So,
he,
so
he did the one. Divergent series, which, tanked.
Yeah, it just kind of stopped.
The first one was like super good. The second one, it was like, eh. And then the third one hit a wall. Just like you said, it stopped. It hit a wall. And then everyone stopped talking about it. Like, I remember that was like 2014, I think. Everyone was talking about the books. Everyone was talking about the movies. And then all of a sudden, it's like it ended. Just like Game of Thrones. After the non-existent eighth season in the multiverse, it completely died off. That's the same way with that series.
Well, it's funny, how franchises will rotate back around and eventually we'll appreciate them for something else. And then there's always nostalgia from people that get in power at some point. I remember the slew of horrible failed relaunches of movies and series that have been come through, especially like from the CW, like the properties they own, they just shit the bed with. And some of it has been just particularly heinous. Like the Charm relaunch, disgusting. And they just refused.
My wife loved the Charm reboot.
Shut up. Oh my God. There's no way she actually enjoyed that. She would be just pissed off that it existed.
No, she doesn't mind it. It's obviously it's not the original Charm series, which is fantastic, by the way. Which, by the way, we have a cat named Leo, which is named after, I guess, Leo.
I didn't know that you said that out loud and meant it.
You know what? I did. It's okay. I enjoyed Charmed. It was good. Yeah. It was a good show.
You heard it here, folks. Tomorrow People, another one that was god awful that they relaunched so bad. That was just like, man, this is really bad. And then, you know, you had a slew of movies at the same time, and they just never got any traction. And I felt really bad for Colin Farrell, who was in two movies that were, as far as cinematically, vastly superior to their originators, but it didn't matter because the remake of Fright Night, you can't tell me you watch both of those movies, and you can't tell me the new one's better in every way. And I'm not talking just visually. It's just better.
That's true.
And his remake of, let me rephrase, his making of Total Recall as a much better and more thoroughly accurate rendition of the short story that the original one with Arnold Schwarzenegger is based on. His was better. It was just better. But again, you're hanging against, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger at the height of his power as far as box office drawing.
What was that, 88?
Oh, yeah. It was like, it's crazy. Like 88, 89, something like that.
Yeah, and that's where he was getting going in his prime. And you know what, speaking of reboots, Conan the Barbarian. You had his back in the early 80s, and then you had the one Jason Momoa did a few years ago, which almost tanked Jason Momoa, other than Game of Thrones, where literally no one that was trying to no casting directors or whatever thought Jason Momoa could speak English. He almost did not get any roles after Game of Thrones.
No, that's crazy. Dude, we're up on Baywatch in Hawaii, you know, for the most part, and people refuse to act like he can talk. Man, people are just stupid.
And he was in Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah.
As Ronan Dex for four seasons. I mean, people are just stupid. But you also got to realize half of them, they just go, oh, this person seems great for this. They probably don't even watch half the shit they do.
Yeah, just a clip or so. Which, again, to the movie we're actually talking about, you would not expect Chris Hemsworth to play this role in this part. And as you're discussing, if he had played this before, we had grown to love him as Odin's son, we probably wouldn't get that bar because this one was a loathsome, horrible person. It takes a while to get there. I will not, you know, we'll spoil as little as possible, but we have Spiderhead Penitentiary, in which you have the incarcerated folks there. You learn that they have volunteered to go into a testing facility to get a better standard of living while they are incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And they are being human trialed for a myriad effects of drugs.
Certain drugs.
They're on pads that are installed at the base of their spine, in which they can be administered with their acknowledgement, supposedly, because they ask for the acknowledgement, you know, of the person they'll be administering a particular drug to them, and then they will need to tell them how they're feeling and what their experience of those particular effects are. So they have traded reality for a altered reality and a much better standard of living and freedom from what they had in prison already. And Miles Teller is
the first one we're introduced to, and he's telling how beautiful something a scene is that he's seeing in his mind while on a particular drug, and they are having him. And the reality is, he is in this god awful industrial waste cove,
basically a dump. Island.
It is disgusting, and he is just espousing his virtues and how beautiful it is, letting them know just how wonderful it is. And yeah, so you can see the power that these drugs are having on folks as they testing on these people in various and sundry ways. And that in and of itself takes a certain level of a sick person, regardless of the crimes of the person that you are experimenting on, to perpetually do that. So it's definitely a bit of a Dr. Moreau type thing when you realize that Chris Hemsworth is not just the head doctor, but also the CEO of this particular pharmaceutical company, as he's getting direct hand evidence and manipulating folks to give the results on these trials that he's looking for. At least that's what you're led to believe for the most part.
You're not wrong. But Lisa,
what was your thoughts on the first act or two in this one?
I thought it was good. I thought they did a great job. I love how nobody talks about why they're there. I don't know. I don't think it was clear that there was like they're contracted not to say why they weren't there and stuff like that. But I love how they all kept their past hidden. Or I think they chose to, because I know what Dirty Mike or what was the big guy's name. Everybody knew what he did, especially to his past cellmates apparently. But the way they introduced what they were doing, what the program was, and the way Miles Teller's character slowly started wising up to what was going on, he definitely figured out what something was going on, and as soon as something happened, he took every opportunity he could to make sure he would survive. For the most part, he looked after himself. Now as far as the reason for why he was there, they did a great job of making it seem like, you know, again, spoilers ahead in 3, 2, 1, that his car crash that caused him to be there, that it was only just him and his friend. I 100% did not see in the near the end of it with his final flashback that she was in the car with him as well. I did not see that coming. Okay, spoilers are over. But the way he progressed as a character, going from, oh, hey, he calls her every Friday at 12 o'clock or whatever. Well, you're thinking that he's calling her, leaving him a voicemail. She's just not wanting to actually talk or speak to him. Well, no, there's a reason he can't talk. She can't talk or speak, you know?
Yeah, I think it was that whole idea of Free Day Friday with him, you know, getting the phone and calling her weekly at that point, and then saying, like, you know, I met someone, you know, I think this will be the last time I'll call you. It's like, mm-hmm. And once you see the original flashback, you're thinking, like, oh, well, he's a bit of a tool bag. You know, when you say that, it's like, yeah. You know, you can only pay for something for so long. But it seemed like he was like accepted to move along and she would just have to deal with it, you know. But, you know, you find out that's not necessarily the case later. And the same thing for everyone there. You know, the way in which they've been portrayed and how they carry themselves in prison, you know, you're just, you know, they might be a little more cordial, but these are still people that did not function correctly, you know, under the societal strictures in which a polite society has asked them to operate. So even accidental or not, there's a cost to be paid for actions and inactions from the folks there. So you approach it in a certain way of looking at them, like, this is, it's not too bad. It's just like anytime you have an experiment in which one class of people has, ultimate control over another, that sets up the idea that sets up, the situation for someone to be abused far more than their statue should allow them to be. You have a significant overreach. And watch them do it was like, it's whatever. But, when they gave basically a ridiculous direct spinal shot of ecstasy to two people, just to watch how they would copulate, and how far they would take it, and then the excuse with what having Masara character, have sex with two different women and then give him the choice of having the punishment of them significantly by being another person. And he was so uncomfortable with picking either one. He didn't say that he was in love with either person or anything like that. And that's what they wanted him to say. He refused to oblige them in that way. And then saying, well, which one's going to get it, which one's not, and it all, it all becomes clear towards the end as you see the experiment is not just on those particular drugs, but one drug in general, which they've been subject to the entire time they've been there, which is a drug designed to make people obedient. And then once that Pandora's particular disease has been loosed from the box, it's hard to put that back in, because then you question every other choice that you made while there, simply because was this a manipulation of the obedience drug and not a form or function of the other drug that it gives. So to me, it set up a good quandary. It brought you into where this is so bad, and as it becomes a worse situation, you are going, oh, well, that's unacceptable. You shouldn't do this to people. You can't do that to people. And then you see the people that atone for their crimes, like they're penitent in their soul as they're going through the situation. And you see that they have been redeemed through their course, through their incarceration, that they have... They paid their price to society personally, and by being removed from society, that paid that cost of society as well. And then you see ultimate justice as it falls down upon the head of Chris Hemsworth. Super weird. the journey is a lot better than my explanation of it when it comes to what this movie did. I mean, it took you... You bought into each and everything that they were doing till it gets to a point where you draw the personal line, this is unacceptable, and then it spirals from there. And that point can be anywhere along that journey. It's wherever you draw the line on how you treat prisoners in society. And at some point, this point right here is unacceptable. And then from there on, it escalates. Regardless of where you draw that line, it escalates from there for all involved parties. And I thought that was a pretty brilliant film design as well.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree with on that. And I think all the supporting actors in the movies, I thought they did a phenomenal job with that aspect as well.
Even Shitfinger?
Even who?
Even Shitfinger?
Shitfinger served a purpose, and Dude, hold on. Can we just talk about that whole interaction first of all? I don't know the black guy's name, and we know Shitfinger. I thought it was hilarious that every single time he walks by, Miles Teller's character walked by the. I don't think they actually said his name in the movie. But he was the one who always mopped up everything, cleaned up everything. Every time the camera walked by him, he's like, "Man, I'm gonna kill whoever wipe shit all over my damn wall." And finally at the end, he sees him right next to the wall. He's like, "I knew that was you, motherfucker," and he starts going after him. I just thought that was a nice little close for him.
Yeah, it's just like, and it was one of the women that the Miles Teller had drug induced sex with.
Coitus.
Was Shitfinger. It's like, "You're Shitfinger?" You know, and then
probably stuck it up his mom too.
Chris Hemsworth is sicking everyone, all the other incarcerated folks.
I will say he was a little sadistic with all that too, man. He was loving that way too much. And what's his name? What was the other guy's name? Mark? Yes. Mark, yeah. Mark, he wisened up at the end, and I felt really happy. I was really happy that he was like, "You know what? I'm going to do the right thing, and we're good to go." I was really excited for that.
Yeah, you know, watching them, you know, go through, you know, their own personal choices and like, "Hey, man, some of this is probably not where I wanted to be. This isn't, you know, what I signed on for." You know, and at what point do you draw the line? How far can you go down that rabbit hole until, you know, you have to realize that you're not just exploring, that you're living in that universe at that point, you know? Right. And, you know, like, it was just super weird, man, you know? It was really good, you know, when it came to a movie that was a Netflix original. It's based on a book. I don't know which, you know, I forgot which one it is.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all. I did not know that.
Yeah, it is based on a book. And when it comes to, the people that are in it, like I said, it's a small cast. Big shout out to Nathan Jones. The Colossus of Bogan Road.
Jeez.
The guy. It's just hilarious to watch that guy in a movie playing a criminal. Since, you know, he was a strongman competitor that wound up like robbing people or attempted to steal cars and wound up in prison, which was hilarious. And everyone said he was a very gentle giant in prison. He's just a ginormous man.
He is a massive dude. I would not fuck with him.
When he was actually in prison, the urban legends say that he did rip his cell door away from the wall because he got angry about something and he just needed to take a walk. Can you think about this, dude? This is like Hancock level shit from an actual human being. Rip their cell door off the wall just to take a lap, just to chill out for a minute. And went back to his cell.
Well, that's kind of like The Rock. His security gate at the front of his house went down. This is months ago. His security gate went down, and there was no one around. So he had to get through. So he goes over. He picks the damn thing off the hinges, and there's interviews about this. He picks it off the hinges and like tosses it to the side. And during the interview, he's like, "Yeah, his security guard, like the guy that's in charge, called him. It was like, 'Hey, man, like what happened here?'" And he told him. I picked it up and I had to get going. That's why I said, "Hey, you guys need to come fix this." He's like, "Yeah, dude, that took four people to pick up and carry it and put back into place." And The Rock's just like, well, sucks to suck. I mean, I'm just fucking strong. That's basically his attitude.
Yeah.
I wish I was that strong.
That'd be dangerous, you know? That'd be dangerous for all involved parties. But
so you know. I know you're surprised, and if Dylan was here, that I've waited so long to say this. I don't do drugs. If you do drugs, that's you. That's cool. That don't bother me. It is what it is. Honestly, you know, I have good sex. I have happy sex, but I want to see what kind of sex is on that drug.
Oh, dude, that's just to me. That looked as appealing as the horrible drug they made people get on as punishment. Like in the long run, it's just as.
Afterwards, you're probably raw as a fucking hot dog. But yeah, you know, during like, it, dude, it looked like straight heaven.
It seemed horrifying. It's just like, and this should stay. I'm thinking, going, oh god, the aftermath for every involved person. It's just you know, like you sit there watching, and going, oh yeah, that's really hot, and then you're like, oh god! It, like for the people involved in it, they were like, they feel weird about it. Their physically have some ailments to go with it. For God's sake, the people watching them do it, they can't feel good about themselves. You know, 5 minutes after that session's over, you know,
well, I'm pretty sure Chris Hemsworth's character was jacking it after that.
That's because he was a sick, twisted fuck. You know, and then. He got exactly what he was for toward the end of that one. But like I said, folks, like, you know, this is the movie. Like, if this had been shot, you know, before, and, you know, Chris Hemsworth had been...
Before Thor Ragnarok. Because
you wouldn't want to watch it, you know. You wouldn't want to see him as Thor. He's miserable. Now, like, you can separate the actor from the character enough to realize that, like, that's just, you know, a performance he did that was good. But, you know, again, when you get a relatively unknown to play those roles, you want them unknown for a reason. Yeah. If he would have taken Spider-Head, it came out before that, we would not be looking at Chris Hemsworth in the same light.
We would have Tom Hiddleston as Thor, not Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, it's like, it's just something that's just... You're more aching to look at the actor in a certain light, you know, even though we understand that's your profession, it's a choice, and they're not actually evil. But this is a great role.
It's like some characters or some actors out there, like we'll take Robert Downey Jr. as an example. He did, what was it, Get Into the Greek? Was it Zach Galifianakis, or was it who's the other guy from Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
The people in the movie, it was Jonah Hill and Mr. Katy Perry for a while.
That's who it was. Yeah. Well, that's those movies aren't really memorable for people like Robert Downey Jr. And same with Chris Evans. He was in what, Perfect Score? He was also the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four with Jessica Alba. A lot of those roles are not as memorable. But when you have actors after their big scores like they had with Marvel, Chris Hemsworth, he's starting to get a lot more going out. Netflix has must have a deal going on with him or something. But he's starting to do a lot more movies. What was it, Bad Times at El Royale? That one stands out to me as well. He did phenomenal in that movie. It's certain actors, once they find that one role, they do fantastic. But if they try to branch out at all, they're not going to do well at all. What's his name? Downey Jr., he did the remake of Dr. Doolittle. I'm pretty sure that tanked.
Yeah, it's kind of hideous. It's just bad. And, like, he did Sherlock Holmes, but the problem is you had him doing Sherlock Holmes at the same time.
Yes.
The BBC redid theirs, and, like, well, he just got outgunned by
Cumberbatch.
That Burlington Coat Factory. That's how you say it.
Burlington Goat Factory. That's actually a good one. I haven't heard that one before. Oh, shit. But, I mean, one movie that stands out of Chris Hemsworth after Thor, after multiple Thors, is the Netflix Extraction that came out 2-ish years ago. 2019, 2020, yeah. Something like that. That one stood out to me. That one's a phenomenal movie. It's some actors have a very wide range, and Spider-Head, Chris Hemsworth, shows that range. He goes from the loving, hey, I'm your buddy, I'm here to help you, I'm going to make sure that we do this, this is going to be done right, to, oh, you were released 9 weeks ago, but I'm going to keep torturing you anyways, and I'm going to laugh about it. And he played the sadistic role perfectly.
He did. He was very good.
Very the one good. Thing you don't do is get high on your own supply.
There you go.
That's like, where he fucked up.
And they've been telling us that for 50 years in music. I guess 40. But anyway.
I love this movie. The actors, they... What?
I said the Immortal Too Short, letting us know that back in the 80s. Don't get high, fly.
But in... I really enjoyed this movie and liked this movie. All the actors combined, I think they did a great job with the casting aspect of it, making sure that it hit all the boxes for me, and I enjoyed it. I like how everyone played along together. Even Shitfinger, I think she did a phenomenal job doing her part. The fucking whatever burly strongman jail dude did great with his brooding, I'm gonna fucking murder you aspect of everything. All the way down to Heather fucking offing herself when they gave her the one drug. That was kind of shocking, I'm not gonna lie. And then Mark, the helper to Chris Hemsworth, Aberforth, Chris Hemsworth character, he was like, oh damn, that was like, and we have about one of those every month. What the fuck? I was just actually kind of shocked that, damn, you have once a month, but you're sitting here just fine. I was like, I don't know about this, Big Chief. We got to figure this out.
Yeah, it's just the farther it went, the more monstrous that he became. As far as his the callous way in which he treated the people there, and you know, it is easy to look out from the outside and going, "Oh, criminals are there for a reason," you know, and the reason being, you know, let the punishment fit the crime, guys. You know what I'm saying? At some level, you know, did they torture and kill and incarcerate people for a long period of time? Oh, they didn't. Well, that's what the system itself is doing to them. So that's not. But let's figure out a little bit better way for this to go. And it was just, it was rough.
No, it was 100% rough. But definitely a lot of fun. And you can tell the actors had fun with this movie. You could definitely tell they had it. They enjoyed the actual movie aspect of it.
Absolutely. You know, it had to be a quick shoot. Like, it's not like they took a long time to make this movie, I would imagine. They couldn't need to. And this is one of those that they could convert and make a significantly, you know, strong return on their investment. Hopefully they did. I like the writing that they did with it. I love the fact, you know, the way that they did the music. I thought it was well done, and it was, you know, it was definitely an enjoyable watch. I'd probably say, I don't know. Like, what's the? Are we gonna rate this thing, man?
Oh yeah, we're about to get there. I was gonna say it's basically a one, one location shoot. I mean, even though where they're on like an island and whatnot, it's still like a one location shot, and it's something they don't ever have to worry about. Oh my fucking damn pussy cat, Jesus fucking shit. My cat was sitting on my lap and she fell and her claws dug into an area that's not supposed to be dug into. It was a one shot location. I thought they did phenomenal with it, and it makes me wonder where the budget. Actually, I understand exactly where the budget went to. So that brings us to the budget. What do you think it was?
I don't know, $75 million.
$100 million.
Okay, I can see that at some level. But man, like you can see where they spent it. I don't think it was, yeah, questioned a lot of it. It was single location, you know, shot at the same time. It was, the location itself was great, and the surroundings they in were pretty sumptuous, mm-hmm. as far, you know, as how they were, the prisoners themselves were being treated, and you know, just the, you know, anytime you add a plane and a flyby shot on it, you know, and when you're actually flying stuff, it becomes expensive. So I can see how that could eat through a budget pretty quickly.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. This one's going to be fun today. Rotten Tomatoes, what you got? You got critics and you got audience.
Oh, God. I would go, uh, 70 critics, 60 people.
All right, so can you take a swig for me real quick?
Yeah, what you got?
39 critics, 29 audience.
What?
Yeah.
I'm perplexed by that one. I thought that they could appreciate the performances by the actors a little bit better, and especially the incorporation of the sound to what they're watching. I don't know why they would say that's 29%. Like, what are some of the complaints that they're having on this film, man?
Let's see. Let me see right here. I'm pulling it up right now. No copyright infringement is intended on this. This was by Trevor W. Oh, this was bad. Actors just going through the motions to pick up their payment. Hemsworth was about as menacing as a roast potato. This movie was stupid. Tried to pull it off a plot twist and failed. Don't waste your time. CC. I can get behind this one.
If you ingest things in TikTok related segments, don't you ever fucking give your opinion on a movie. You fucking ADHD rattle turd knuckle, you.
Tyler W. Not sure about all the poor ratings. This was a decent film. Of course, the short story is far better. That's going back to what you were talking about then. Okay, so I didn't know that one. I kind of want to find the short story now.
Well, dude, like what I'm telling you, like these people that are rating these movies, just going through emotions, unless you're just going through every emotion like as rapidly as, you know, an Instagram reel will allow you to do so, or a YouTube short. I don't know what they expect. Like, you know, everything is not, it's not supposed to be in your face perpetually, you know, ridiculous, you know, Shakespearean, you know, falling to the audience, playing directly to someone. You have to build a story. And if your attention span does not allow you to do so, then take some more good one. And go do something else in 30-second blips. This movie did a good job of building its show and actually showed the menace because of his complete disdain for other people and his lack of empathy. You don't have to have someone sitting there wringing their hands and a knife to stab people and say ridiculous ones, you know, closed-minded things in order to be identified as the villain. I don't, the folks that are giving your opinion, that yes, it has a valid opinion, but if you can't sit through a movie in one setting and you have to watch it like in 10-minute blips over a course of a week, I don't know that you get to have an opinion on that that other people should actually listen to. So,
I got a few more for you. I'm gonna leave the names out. Meh, did not like it. That's all they said. Another one was the movie. This was the most unwatchable story of this year thus far. How did it even get made? Well, that's because people paid money for it. That's how it got made. That's called economics. Take a class once or twice. Another one wrote, the acting was good. Unfortunately, that was the only upside of the movie. Everything was just absolute garbage. And another one said, a waste of time. Even Venom is better than that. I'm only reading one-star reviews, by the way. I'm not reading any of the other ones because I don't care about the other ones. One stars, that's where it's out. Wow, just terrible. Seriously, pretty much unwatchable. These movies are starting to show that Chris Hemsworth simply can't act. You can shut up your ass. He can act.
Jesus Christ. I am repulsed by these assholes. It's ridiculous. And also, Venom, hot garbage. Love the guy. Cannot stand the Venom movies. Like, it's just gross. If you want to watch him at his height, go watch Taboo. The only season we got of that was fantastic. He was also exceptional as in his role in Peaky Blinders. And then there's lots of movies where he's great. Bronson, also great, but terrifying. But don't compare the Spider-Head to Venom on the suck scale. You know, it's not fair. It's ridiculous. And again, like, you know, meh. What's the point of you writing that? What's the point of giving an opinion of meh?
It's literally what it said. I was like, oh my god. You wasted time. That was just so ridiculous.
Don't bother. I mean, you people are just running down a rank for a movie that you don't have the vocabulary to actually explain why you didn't like it. Meh. Meh.
Honestly, like,
if someone asks you what you thought about it, great. But don't write meh as a review. It's lazy. It's lazy. And those right there, like, whoever's doing this, they should report those reviews. Like, this isn't enough to bother. Like, you know, if you can't copy and paste someone else's, you get sent it ripping down another movie and replace it, it changed up the order a little bit. If you can't go to that level to write a review, don't put three letters and possibly punctuation. I'm assuming probably not, though.
Oh, just three letters, my friend. Sorry.
Of course. That's the level of lazy stupidity that these people should not be allowed to talk. It's just like a driver's license. If you can't pass a test, you shouldn't be allowed to do it. And oh my god, that's so elitist. I can't believe you probably say that. Well, information and knowledge aren't the same thing. You having access to something doesn't mean that you had no shit about it. And just because you have an opinion doesn't give you the right to make your opinion better than someone else's or to devalue someone else's. And I understand that's hypocritical for me to say that, but at the same time, when someone...
Considering how this whole podcast is our opinions.
but it's an opinion, and it's out there, and somebody can roast us for the shit that we say, but at the same time, I'll be glad to defend it. I don't think meh review writer is going to defend anything.
Facts. This one right here, I want to hear what you would say. This is my new favorite segment, by the way. I love this, just going through and roasting everyone who gives a one fucking star on a great movie. The whole plot relies on a very flawed drug delivery system, and no one figures out to rip it off. You dumb motherfucker.
Oh my god.
It's attached to your spine and your fucking nervous system. Rip it out. Go right ahead. Tell me how that's going to work out for you.
And first of all, they've been told not to do it. Also, they've been on a drug the whole time that tells them to listen to what they're being told.
Yep.
Like, if you can't understand the fact that all these people are walking in a drugged haze to start with, and then they're told to do other stuff. That's the whole purpose of this experiment. So if you can't understand that there are more than two levels to what you're seeing, if you can't see levels, you know, C and D past that, again, you're too stupid to write a review.
I'm sorry. This is great. It's
invalidated because you're too fucking stupid. You need a fucking handler to be allowed in public. You ignorant fuck you.
This is great because exactly what you said applies to this next one. Don't waste your time watching this movie. The premise is a wealthy pharmaceutical owner doing testing on inmates with their permission, yet having an open door policy is ridiculous. Spoiler, I just saved you 146 minutes. You'll thank me. That's actually hilarious talking about, oh, you can't get past C and D and you can't see fucking shit.
Oh my god. Oh my god. And it's not an open door policy. Like, they still
can't leave. Lockdowns.
They still have that. They have common areas like any normal fucking prison other than a federal max. And then you do have Free Day Friday. They're on a fucking island. Where are you going? And then they're given this. Also, again, they've been on a drug to make them compliant and obedient, and then they're forced to use these other drugs, and they think they have a choice because they don't know that they're on another drug already. Like, if you cannot possibly follow the plot as it's literally stated in front of you, then how the fuck are you going to give any insight into nuances on the characters and the film and what happened? You literally don't know what the fuck happened. You have an open book test and you fucking failed. And then you're going to tell someone else, it's a stupid test and it didn't work anyway. You're an idiot. You are literally a fucking idiot. You should not be allowed to do multiple things in a society that needs intelligent people. You should not have internet privileges. You should be forced to live on your own in the wilderness. And when a tenth of you people come back to society, then we'll talk at that point. But my god, you handicapped, short attention span jackasses, you deserve to write sentences or even three-letter words to describe someone else's achievement or lack thereof. My god.
Oh, shit. Oh my god, I could go on all day doing this. Well, what do you think?
I'm gonna literally have a heart attack, a stroke on here. I'm just gonna I'm just gonna go into full blown rage mode instead of a rant at this point. It's just like it's insane to watch someone with so little intelligence write all these shitty reviews because they couldn't follow a stated plot. These aren't subtext. These are contextual clues that we had to pick up about what actually happened in the film. They literally said, and then this thing happened. And they can't even follow that.
Point five of a star. Point five. Half star. Could have been good. Predictable and boring. And that was all that is said.
Do they watch a movie? Do they watch
it? Apparently not. No. The storyline, everything is just terrible.
I'm not saying this is a fucking, you know, a masterpiece of cinema. You know,
it's
that
a good movie. It's just a good movie.
It's a good movie. It's not a 30%er. It's not a 40%er. Like, and it's not because. And I, you know, if there's something that we missed horribly, that they did something so atrociously, that they no, it's literally the views didn't watch the fucking movie, because they literally are complaining about things that are completely elocuted in the actual dialogue of the film itself, and they're saying we're going to understand them, that we're stupid because they wouldn't do that. You fucking asshole. Oh my god. Like, I shouldn't have to defend. I should not be worked up and worried about this, or have it make me feel some type of way. But I give it to you. Kudos to you people. You literal morons have me in my feels over the stupidity that you espouse over a movie review. That's hats off. That is just great, because there's no reason for me to be this angry over your stupidity, but yet there you are, living rent free in my head, because I just can't let your level of dumb keep escaping society. Dude, we're heading full blown straight towards Idiocracy, and every day it's a little bit more. I mean, I'm just waiting for them to have Gatorade fertilizer. I guess just to get this over with.
So, on a lighter note, before Jeff bursts the blood vessel in his head, what do you think the IMDb score is? This may or may not help. I don't know. We'll find out here in a minute.
What's the IMDb out of? Out of 10?
10.
Oh, well, the level is stupid. From Rotten Tomatoes, 5.5.
Holy shit! You were so close.
Oh, God damn.
So close. Oh my god, 5.4.
Yeah, I can totally believe it. This movie 5-4. Is not good. I don't know why this movie got such an unfair shake. It did not deserve the low rankings that it got. And I'm assuming that this is ones and, you know, this is ones and twos and then eights that are averaging out to the score that we're seeing, because anybody that watched the movie can't legitimately give it a 5 out of 10. It's not a 50%. It's not a half-assed effort, literally, is what you're saying it is. Like, if you understood the movie and had enough sense to watch it the way a film format should be watched, not in blurbs on 15-minute breaks once in a while, occasionally, if you don't pay attention to...
Going through it, there was a lot of threes. There's a lot of three and fours. But unfortunately, I think all of the ones and the half of ones are the what have brought it down and weighed it down as much as it has.
I understand that it's so much easier to tear someone down than bring it than to lift them up. And that's why these rankings are really starting to chap my ass. Like, I don't know if we change, you know, instead of just give our opinion and then rip everybody that gave it a 10 and a 1, I think that'd be a much more fun experiment to go through. But, you know, I don't know if that's something we want to do, because that seems kind of horrible and pandering. But at the same time, these people that are just almost watching a movie and paying some attention occasionally, giving an opinion on it, grosses me out just as much. So I think if we sit there and roast 1-star reviews that are just blitheringly stupid, I think we should definitely put names to them. But that's just my opinion.
I agree, but I don't want any copyrights coming after us for unknown reasons. Well, I mean, that we pretty much said what we've said. I love the movie. Jeff, it's safe to say you love the movie. We both agree it's not a masterpiece. It's a phenomenal movie. And I'm okay with that. If you don't like it, you can go fuck yourself. I don't care. This is our opinions. Yeah, basically, I enjoyed it. Jeff enjoyed it. What more can we say? What do you have any? Do you have any closing arguments about this?
No, man. I'm just saying, like, if you watch more TikTok videos than you do hours of television, this is not the pod for you. That's it.
That's He's awful. Not wrong. He is not wrong. But obviously, if you made it an hour and 10 minutes into this, where we are now, that means we did something okay. We're here to rant, and that's what this is for. We're giving you our opinion. We recommend you go see this movie. And I'm going to speak for Jeff. I say we. Yeah. We recommend to go see this movie. And... you know what? It is what it is. If not, I recommend you go watch the movie Fresh. That definitely was a fantastic movie.
You should totally watch Fresh. It's TikTokable.
That is very TikTokable, and you would love it. So I highly recommend that. On that note, though, Jeff, you have anything else to add?
No. Plenty
of Do you have a bad taste in your mouth now?
Oh God! You know, 0/10 stars, completely carny, completely ate me, not sustainable, fucker.
Well, this is another episode of Movies, Brews, and Rants. I'm Tyler. We got Jeff over there. Hey, man, you guys have any questions? Hit us up on TikTok. You said TikTok about 20 times, and that's now in my head. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think. We're very somewhat active on there.
That'd also be impressive and fun to listen to. Of how actually vapid you are.
Say that one more time.
It would be nice for them to let us know how stupid they are too. You know, how vapid they are, how little they know about the world around them, and how they can be picked apart verbally just anytime they want some. They can bring it.
I am down for that. If you guys want a verbal confrontation with either of us, bring it. Let's go. We are all about confrontations, if you haven't noticed yet. We will combat anything you say. Anything. hit us up on Twitter at NBRPod. You know, you're already listening to this. You know where to find us. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, whatever. You name it, you can find us. Hit us up. Let us know. You know what? If you got beef, give us a 5-star review anyways. And if you give us a 1-star review, it better not say meh. That's all we got to say. Anyways, no copyright infringement is intended. These are opinions of, well, right now, two dudes that are having fun. And y'all take it easy, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Next week, what do we got going on next week? We got, Prize Fighter.
Yes.
Prize Fighter. Honestly, the movie was good. I enjoyed that movie.
We'll jump into that one later.
All right, guys. Y'all take it easy. See you.